We welcome you this evening again to our evening worship service. And once again, we are on this beautiful hymn, 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And so those who are listening on the air, we thank you. And we hope you have a hymn books and you can follow us as we worship the Lord tonight and finish it up, Revelation chapter 20. 255. Whispers of love. This is my story. This is my son. Praise him, my Savior, all the day long. This is my song. Praise him, my Savior, all the day long. Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, we open the evening service in your name. And we pray that as we fellowship together here in the auditorium and there in the large audience of the internet, those who are able to listen, we all be able to thank you for the great work you will do at the end of the world when you will reward evil for evil and make right the things that need to be done right. We thank you, Lord, for the security of the saved people and for the care of those who are saved. We praise you and we want to continue to praise your name. We thank you, Lord, that you brought Lara back safely after her mission and her work. And we pray that now you will give her the wisdom in the days ahead. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you and to worship you. In Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. All right. Once again, I want to thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to use the Thompson home. That was a great father and son opportunity. The food was very, very delightful. All right. I don't know how many omelets you people eat. I don't tell you how many I eat. And the pancakes were, I can't believe it. There was just like a super kitchen over there with Mary, Thelma, Brother Veloz. That was great, and the fellowship was good. And our speaker gave us a lecture, all right, on the events and the contemporary factors of the world, all right? I hope you remember that. All right, now we have songs open to all of you. Lara, welcome back. And tell one thing do you remember about the Dominican Republic? Okay. How many of you people were working together? You remember?
20 students.
Well, thank you. And she learned to mix by hand, eh? All right, very good. And there was sunny over there, no? Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, they did. It's sun. Okay. Well, praise the Lord, Lara. And that's a good experience in your life. People is the key. All right. What song do we have? Okay, Tricia, tell me.
271.
Now, we have to buy
those heavy weight things and put it on Tricia's head. She's getting too high. She's too tall, all right? She's too tall, all right? 271, my anchor holds. The anchor is the safety place where they put it down, and they put two anchors, all right? One in the front, one in the back, in opposite directions, so the ship cannot move. We have only one, but boy, holds everything. All right, number two. Security, our Lord Jesus, my ankle horse. Señor Andrew, number one. All right, made my day. All right, number one. Okay. '79 and died in 1838, 200 years ago. You know, we're talking about remarkable writing. You never know where your writing are going to be used, you know. And so if you have the gift of writing, write for the Lord, because it is a great joy. Stanza number two. Oh, yeah. Okay, 424. All right, right here. Send the light. And by the way, this is a good hymn and a good moment to talk to you. On the first Sunday in July, I asked Dr. Dante to explain his mission. He went independent away from his church to do the mission on Iquitos, which is a city on the Peruvian side. Then you have the Amazon, and then you have Brazil and Ecuador. And he's a dentist. And what he does, he takes all his paraphernalia with him, takes a commercial ship, go to one of the islands, and then he helps the Indians over there with the tooth and so on. And then he preached the gospel with his wife, and they care of the people. And there are many little churches that started because of his work. He sold a house, and he's living out of the money that he sold the house to do this. So I offered him, and, you know, we need to support a guy like that. You come in and bring us a tape and everything that we can see about you. So he's coming on July 2nd. Then on July 9, we have missionary Giovanni coming in. He's alone. His wife is staying in Guatemala, and he will be here at 6 o'clock. And also he will put the DVD here. I think we have a player in the back, no, a DVD, and show us what the Lord has done. So these are people we've been supporting, Giovanni, and a very, very respectful guy, a young fellow, and I have great hopes. So great, great month for mission, July, all right? Number 424, Send Alive. Tell me. 44. See, she went to La República Dominicana, and she learned the Spanish, all right? That's very good. She's a 44, even with a fasted style, all right?
Thank you.
you're a father, you should get your present, remember? When you go home, check that. You should have a present, all right? Okay. Otherwise, if you have some complaints, just call me. All right. The next song, Brother Plica. 351. One of the success of our men's breakfast yesterday was that I was able to bring people who are in my coffee shop here in town, and came a man by the name Anthony Moravito. You put him in your prayer list. He was a very violent fellow when he was young, born here in Morning Hill, 83 years old. And as I drove him back home, he said, I tell you where to drive on the inside of San Martin when I used to, when I was young in 1930 and 1928, when I brought oil for the people here. So he drove his truck with a horse and had the oil for the people to cook and so on. And he said, I never have found another place with little kids, and this goes for Andrew and Matthew and all the, those who are there, so respectful and so quiet, he said. There is something different in that place. So I tell you, you bring people in, we don't say anything to him except he listened to our brother and so on. He said, what a nice, fine people. Nobody say a bad word. See, you think if people do not listen, they watch and listen. And it was a living testimony. I said, well, Tony, one of those days you give me $100, I tell you the secret, you know. So he go home and give me fruits, you know. He's an old farmer and so on. And I was able to share with him. He's reading the scripture, though. So that's a great advantage. 83 years old. God has grace and can reach you at any age. You know, that's a mystery of God. All right? We sing then. 316, you said that right? Okay.
Thank you.
say, stamp thy own image in my heart. Well, we're talking this morning, being a father with the image of God, a father in the old image. Which one, you know? All right. Another son before we open the scripture in Revelation chapter 20 and conclude that chapter. All right. Raquel, you have one of your favorites.
5:12.
5:12. Okay. Check if that's what you really like. 5:12? Saved by grace. All right. Praise the Lord. So much, Raquel, for your faithfulness on the piano for every service right here. I want to conclude tonight, and I would like to, the Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to, do just a little review with you in Revelations 1:1 and 2 and 3. We have the heart of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. If you have the outlines from the very beginning in page 1, we have that information. Otherwise, we will, when the whole book is being taught, I will retype the outline and give it to our brother Greg to put it on the internet so people will have it. Revelation 1:1 talks about the author of the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And so John is the author. Actually, God is the author. John is the writer of the book of Revelation. Now, it is a revelation, no mystery. A lot of people say, well, the book of Revelation is a mystery. That would be a contradiction. If the book of Revelation is a revelation, then it is not a mystery. Now, if you have a Spanish Bible, it's not Book of Revelation, it's Book of Apocalypse, which means, is a Greek word, means the things coming revealed at the end, which is exactly what the book is. Now, in verse 2, the Bible tells us there is a revelation of Jesus who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's a book about Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. In other words, it's not a book about a particular thing. It's a book about Jesus Christ. And then verse 3 tells you that the book is a disclosure of God's final plan and the victory of Jesus. Verse 3 said, blessed is he that read it. Don't be afraid to read the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that read it, and they that heard the word of his prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know, 2,000 years ago, the time is at hand. Is God really God? You know, 2,000 years ago, we measure, well, I was talking to Raquel, we are 41 years in America. Wow, 41 years, a good section of my life in America. 2,000 years ago, God wrote this and tell you that the things are at hand. And we have, somebody have mentioned to me, when we go to your church, we look all over the Bible. Well, here is the reason why. If you go to your Bible to the book of Isaiah in chapter 28, on the book of Isaiah, and in verse 10, you find why I go all over the Bible. And I learned in seminary textual criticism and homileptics, how to do this and the other. But I was reading the Bible for Family Radio 1973 in Spanish and selecting sections in Arabic and so on. And here is the text that I run into. And I said, this is the best of the best in how to interpret the Bible. Isaiah 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. And so this is the only way you will study the Bible. You compare your Bible back and forth, with verses that relate to the same topic. Now, tonight we are, and I give you, I think it's page 33 or 34, page 34 of my outline. If you don't have an outline, let us know. There is plenty in the back. By mistake, I pushed the printer, do 25, and push it again by mistake, and got another 25. So here it is, the book of Revelation chapter 20. We are really to the closing chapters of the book of Revelation. And they are so excited, these chapters. They are, as well as the other chapters in the book of Revelation, they are very, very informative concerning the very end. Now, Revelation chapter 20 reveals, remember what I said last Sunday, it has been a very difficult chapter for theologians and how to deal with 1,000 years here and 1,000 there. And Revelation chapter 20 is just a summary on the judgment of Satan. And God, in the first 10 verses, give you a rundown on how Satan is going to be handled by God. Now, when we start Revelation 11 to verse 15, which are four verses, God is going to deal with one thing in mind, his eternal judgment of Satan, how Satan is going to be absolutely finished. No memory of him. As you read verse chapter 21, you will see that there is no memory of the past. But God, in order to do that, he's going to finish, not only with Satan, you will see it today, but with everyone that today deny the knowledge of God in their heart, that they don't want to believe. And so that's why we open the doors of this church. That's why we broadcast over the internet. That's why we try to broadcast every class we can, every opportunity that we can in the internet, because we want people to hear and believe and know going to hell. So here it is, Revelation chapter 20. The first thing that we learn in Revelation 20, verse 11, is that the universe as you and I know it, will go out of existence. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. He saw all the unbelievers. And then it's like you say in English, you pull the rug on people. You see, in a moment, all the unbelievers, and God pulled the rug, that's the universe, and here they are, without place to be. Do you see that? People say, well, they worry, as I preached this morning, what kind of man are you? Are you an earthly man or a heavenly man? They worry about so much about this earth. And you see the environmentalists. I have one, I told many of you, right here on this property the other week. I saw a red truck coming in, and they pull out a tripod and devices. So I was in my office. I get out of the office and said, sir, can I help you? So we are measuring the sound of animals. In this place? They say, yes. They said, we have to enlarge the bridge. If you come from Gilroy and you take the bridge on it, the concert, we have to make it four lanes. There are two lanes now. We have to make it four lanes. And the environmentalists want to know how many animals are here. So if there are too many, then we cannot do it. And I said, are you sure? Is that all right? Yes. Well, I can bring all the birds here in a second. I go inside, I get bread. I spread it in the ground. I have a gun here. It's short 22. I bring it in, and we shoot all of them, and there will be no animals in the town. And he said, no, you don't understand. I had to say, well, I said, inside there are squirrels. Oh, there are squirrels. They tried to measure the squirrels. Said, but we don't like the squirrels, so we want to shoot the squirrels. Oh, no, this cannot be done. Oh, yeah, we're going to eliminate every animal that comes here. So he took off. I think he came in the night and measured the animals. See, the environmentalists, they want this world. And their God is this world. Now, I love trees and plants and flowers. You don't cut a tree for me, and you don't touch a flower until it's finished. You know? But doesn't mean that I adore and worship that. And it need to be removed. And here is what this happened. The universe is going to be pulled out from the unbelievers because you know why? That's their security. Now, there are two places where the Bible talks about that. Put one hand in Revelation and go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, please, and chapter 3 in your Bible. You will see how wonderful the Bible describes this in super detail. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 10. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, I'm going to read verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in a holy behavior or conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwell righteousness. So all of these melting elements will be like that. Now, you know this in verse 10, said the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And there are even a movie made, A Thief in the Night, the Lord comes suddenly. But that is a mistake because the Lord will not come as a thief in the night for you. Just move to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As you move your Bible to the left, you get 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let me read from you verse 1 to 4, and we'll tell you there in 1 Thessalonians 1 to 5 that a thief in the night is not for the believer. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now let's keep reading. For when they shall say, they are the unbelievers, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall no escape. God pulling the rock again. But ye brethren, verse 4, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You see it? The believer, the Lord is not coming as a thief at the night for the believer. It's coming for those people who make this world their God. But you and I know that one day the Lord is at our doorsteps. And that will be, what a great peace we have. And so, therefore, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, reveal the universe will go out of existence, will go like a blow, will go in seconds, and the people in the universe will find no place to go. And Matthew's, let me show you Matthew's 24, and verse 35. Matthew's chapter 24, and verse 35. Look at what Matthew said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so the security of this universe, the security of the entire universe is going to be pulled out of the hands of the unbelievers, and the unbelievers will find no place to go. Now, going back to Revelation 20, verse 11, the universe will go out of existence. The unbelievers will have no place to go. There is a court hearing is set. That is the settings of a court hearing in verse 12. let me show you. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. God is the judge. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, the next thing, God is a judge. The next thing is, since believers are glorified, sinners are before God. And the books were open, and the other books were open, which is in the book of life. Now, the evidence are presented. That's what the book says. The evidence are presented. And nobody said, well, how can God write everything I do? Believe it, if you can have a computer with memory, God can have the record for you. And the good will be open. Now, the judgment the place in the Bible said, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. In other words, those people, everybody present over there, God is going to judge them according to the evidence. Now, believers have been declared innocent of these, and if you go, we have to go to Daniel, which is speak about this, in Daniel chapter 12. As you remember, going back to the book of Daniel's in the Old Testament, and in chapter 12 and in verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which is standing for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. That's what the Bible talks about, the book of life. Therefore, this book of life, which is the book of the Lamb of God, those who are written in that book, there will be no judgment. But those who are written in the book of life know the Lamb of God, then they will be open. And so believers have been already declared innocent, and they are no part of this judgment. Now, the unbelievers are brought to court. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead. You know, I want to tell you something from the heart. I have done five times deliver ashes into a boat in the Bay Area and spread the ashes on the ocean. And turn around one time was for the United States Navy. And there was the formation of the Navy behind and so on, and a big giant boat. And we did that. And as I turned around, I looked at the people looking to me. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, I said, you maybe don't believe this, but every one of these asses will be back into a person and will stand before God in the day of judgment. And everybody was, you know, you're in the Navy, you're in formation, so you cannot move. But I can see the faces, how they thought, how ignorant I was. But this is what verse 13 said. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That means the people who are sleeping today, they're unbelievers. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. So all will appear from the first day of creation to the last one. From Cain, the first who was the first sinner, who died in sin. From Cain on, everyone will appear in the presence of God. And all were judged on one account. He said, and their works. And there was a one account that is going to be really put in their mind. Let's go to that account. John Gospel chapter 6 and verse 29. Look at this, what the Bible said about the work of God. John Gospel chapter 6. And see, on their works, said the Bible. And all their works were over there. Here it is, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him, him as Jesus, whom he has sent. This is the work of God. God has done a work, has presented Jesus, so you believe in him. Now, let's go to John 16, and let me read from you from verse 7 in John 16, and see why people are going to be judged on one account. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I not away, go not away, the Comforter, that's another word for the Holy Spirit, Paracleto, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now look at verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not in me. And so therefore, the work that God is going to show them is this. You are an unbeliever. Christ has been offered to you. Christ has been presented to you. Christ has been put in a silver plate for you, and you have rejected that. And therefore, that is the really issue on the court in heaven. Now, a sentence is given. Verse 14 and 15. You notice that these people are without lawyer in court, because the lawyer is already sitting in the other side of the bench as a judge, Jesus Christ himself. Now, in verse 14, we have the unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The Gehenna, the place of hell, where the unbelievers were resting until the day of judgment, they're all together now in the lake of fire. Now, this is the second death. The second death take place. And that death is a separation from God, and is well explained in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 26. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15, 26, this moment is well explained here. 1 Corinthians 15, 26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so when you go back to Revelation chapter 20, In verse 14, said this is the second death. That means that is the total termination of life. And then the punishment is executed in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not written, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to go back again to Matthew in chapter 13 in Matthew, and in verse 40 to 43. Remember, Matthew 13 carry seven parables. Now I want to read for you Matthew 13, verse 40 to 43. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. And so the judgment of God is accomplished, is finished, is put to exercise without any delay. There is no mercy in this judgment. There is no other consideration. That's why the Lord in Matthew 11 said in 28-29 that he is gentle, that he's kind. That kind of thing you will not find in the last judgment. You will have the execution of God's plan to the T. And the unbelievers who are not written in the book of Lamb by God, then they will be executed, and Hades, which hold all the unbelievers dead in life, will be placed into the lake of fire. And remember that verse, when I read that verse, verse 11, that God will pull the rug out of man, and man will have no universe to stand, no place where to hold. See, if you talk to somebody today about the Lord, they say, oh, no, but science said this. That's the universe they hold on. You talk to somebody about the Lord and they say, well, no, you know, can you prove this? They want a physical proof. Remember, Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, he talks about the philosophers who want the Greek, who want a proof, and the Jew who want a miracle. They want something in this world to hold on. And you can't, because God's going to pull it out. When you are in court, you have no place to stand except in the great tribunal that God is going to hold in the sky. When I saw that, then I said, wow, how clever. Man cannot have any resources of this earth to argue. How clever. So we need to have real mercy on those who believe not, real patience, and real love, because we do not want anyone to go into hell. Thank God that we open the doors of the church, that we open the doors of the airways. But I tell you, we need to open the doors of our heart and be kind and gentle as we can, so that people can see in us the glory of God and glorify the Father and turn into the kingdom of God. Oh, may God help us to have the image of Christ in us, so that less people will be judged because of our testimony and because of our life. Your home is a living testimony of Christ. Your life is a living testimony of Christ. As I say in the morning, if we complain, and if we complain about the husband or the wife or the children, that's not a testimony. And the unbelievers, I watch some of the unbelievers, I watch some of the Asian communities, and the Vietnamese community, and the Korean community, they have those people, they well behave, they have those people on the line. I never heard anyone complain to me about life. And so we need to have a better example in our life. We need to have a better shining glory of our comfort in life. It's not this world, it's the peace of God in our heart. Because one day, this wall is really going to be pulled out, and the only thing left is the presence of God. Another passage of the scripture talks about that we, the believers, will be in the jury. I'm not sure of this, of what I want to say, but I don't like the idea, because what if I'm there and my mother is on the other side? In chapter 21, God clarified the point. So I don't want to tell you now, so you come for chapter 21, all right? Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That the security of this world is going to be moved out. That's what I learned in this section. So help me, oh God, not to have the security of this world holding on like this is it. If I lose it, I lose everything. Oh, no, God, thank you, Jesus, that you told us that you seal us with the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. We can never lose you, and that's what really counts. Help us to live in that way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you, and have a great week.